welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Adventure in this hour from two programs. Later on, the Steel River Prison Break on Suspense. But right now, an episode of Cloak and Dagger. This NBC broadcast features a very talented cast from September 22nd, 1950, in Operation Sellout.
Are you willing to undertake a dangerous mission behind the enemy lines, knowing you may never return alive?
What you have just heard is the question asked during the war to agents of the OSS, ordinary citizens who to this question answered, yes.
This is Cloak and Dagger.
Warfare, espionage, international intrigue. These are the weapons of the OSS. Today's adventure,
Operation Sellout,
is the story of an American OSS agent who went into German-occupied France to locate Nazi submarine bases and is suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. A story that can now be told.
I knew something was up when Colonel Palmer met Tom Barnes and me at the dock that night. He hadn't come down from London just to wish us bon voyage. There wasn't time for such formalities in the OSS, even when a couple of its agents were embarking for the coast of Nazi-occupied France. The minute the Jeep pulled to a stop, the Colonel stepped into the faint glow of the blackout light.
Captain Dagger?
Yes, sir.
This is the radio operator, Captain.
That's right, sir.
I'm Barnes, sir. Lance Corporal Barnes, Sussex Guards.
You men are all set?
Yes, sir.
We shove off in 20 minutes. That'll put you ashore below Saint-Nazaire just before dawn. After you've been landed, you'll move inland exactly 6 kilometers. You'll be met there by an agent of the Marquis. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, men.
You've got a lecture then, Tom,
you
and
understand?
I... We didn't need it.
Understand how vital it is.
We knew our mission was important.
This mission is terribly important.
German submarines had been hitting our convoys in the Atlantic, hitting them hard.
At 0100.
Shipping losses had to be cut, and the best way to cut them was to blast the Nazi sub pens along the French coast.
You understand?
It was my job to locate the biggest pens. It was Tom's job to radio the information back to England, so the Allied air forces would know where to lay their eggs.
Now then...
No, we didn't need any lecture on how important it was.
Daggett, you're not listening.
Oh, I'm sorry, Colonel. I heard it all in London 2 days ago, sir. I was wondering why you came down here to say it again.
I may have had another reason for coming down.
Well, that's what we figure, sir. There's been a change in plans?
Slight one, yes. Originally, you two would have wanted to take this mission alone. I've decided now to send a third man with you.
Oh? Who is he, sir?
I'd rather say nothing about it till you see him. He'll be something of a surprise to you, perhaps.
A surprise, sir?
Yes, though not too unpleasant a one, I hope. Your reaction to him may well determine the success of your mission.
I'm afraid I don't understand, Colonel.
You will in a minute. He's already on the boat. Come along.
Tom and I followed the colonel out on the dock. A British Navy torpedo boat that was going to take us across the channel lay in the water. A black shadow in the black night. We climbed aboard, stowed our gear on deck, and moved toward the forward cabin. Tom and I exchanged looks. Neither of us liked this slight change in plans.
Your new man is in here, Captain.
Well, let's have a look at him, Colonel. For a moment, the bright lights of the cabin spilling out on the deck blinded me. Then I saw him. First, I thought it was a gag, until the guy turned, until he made a stiff bow from the waist, until he said...
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Lieutenant Karl Müller of the German Reichswehr.
Then I knew it wasn't a gag. He belonged in that uniform he was wearing. It was all his, every Nazi stitch of it, right up to the death's head insignia on his left shoulder.
Herr Miller, this is Captain Link Daggett, and this is Corporal Barnes of the British Army on detached service with the OSS.
It is a pleasure to meet you, gentlemen.
Is it? Colonel Palmer, may Barnes and I speak to you alone?
All right, Daggett.
I will go out on deck.
Well, Daggett?
Well, do we have to say it, sir? You must know how we feel about this.
I'll say it, Link. Sir, I don't like the idea of taking a jerry with us into Nazi territory. Well, do we have to do it, Colonel?
You volunteered for this mission, Barnes. You don't have to do anything.
Yes, but Daggett and I can do the job, sir, without a jerry.
You can do it faster with him, Corporal. And we've got to start hitting those sub-vents as quickly as possible. Miller will be valuable to you in obtaining information from his former fellow officers.
Must have a lot of faith in this Nazi, sir.
He's not a Nazi. He's a German.
Is there a difference, sir?
Yes.
Even when he was an officer in one of Hitler's pet divisions, Colonel?
Through no choice of his own, Daggett. Miller was captured by the British in North Africa 2 years ago. He's been working as an interpreter for the OSS for 18 months. He's been thoroughly screened. We have faith in his story that he's always been opposed to Hitler.
Well, he could have been lying to you, sir, just waiting for a chance like this, a chance to get back to German territory.
He could have been, but we don't think he was.
Yeah, but if he were, sir, Barnes and I are a couple of dead ducks. He'll sell us out the minute we get across the channel.
That's quite true, Daggett. And that's the chance you'll both have to take.
Well, we could have backed out, but we didn't. You never do. So we headed across the channel. One Englishman, one American, and one German. I don't know what the German was thinking. He didn't say much. But the Englishman and the American were thinking it was going to be a one-way trip. Just before dawn, the torpedo boat put us ashore below San Jose. We stood listening to her motors die away. Then I turned and walked up to Lieutenant Carl Mueller. I lifted his Luger out of its holster, and he didn't say a word. I broke the gun open. There were 12 rounds in the clip and one shell in the chamber. I dropped the clip in my pocket and handed the gun back to him, the shell still in it.
Danke, Herr Kapitän.
Mueller, I left you one shell. If anything goes wrong, you may need it. That is, if you're on the level.
I will use it on myself rather than fall into the hands of the Nazis.
Yeah, I know you will. If you're on the level. If you're not, though, you'll think twice about using it on us. You see, you couldn't get both of us with one shell. You understand?
Yeah, I understand, Herr Kapitän.
It was just a phony gesture, of course. He knew as well as I did that it didn't mean a thing. The country was occupied by 500,000 of his countrymen. He could wipe us out like stepping on a bug. If he wanted to. Dawn was breaking when we left the beach. We started inland to keep our rendezvous with Philippe Martin, the Maquis agent who was to set us up with a base of operations. He must have made quite a picture. Two men dressed as French peasants trudging along behind a Nazi officer. We kept to the fields and moved along hedgerows as much as we could. Then we came to a highway. A German army lorry rumbled by while we squatted behind the hedgerow and held our breath.
Looks all clear now, Link.
Yeah, we'll cross one at a time. You first, Mueller.
Yeah, Herr Kapitän.
He got over the hedgerow and out onto the highway. It was halfway across. Tom and I straightened up to follow him, and we saw it. We dropped down again. A German reconnaissance car swinging around the bend in the road. It stopped a few feet from Mueller. He looked at the Nazis. He looked at him. We looked at both of them through the hedgerow and waited.
Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler!
It was in the lift of his voice. It was in the smile on his face. There was no mistaking it. Karl Mueller was back with his buddies. Karl Mueller was home.
Link, let's get away from here. Make a run for it along the hedgerow.
For what? If he tips off those krauts, we won't get 10 feet.
Yes, I guess you're right. Well, if we go, I'm taking Jerry with us.
I'd had the same idea. I'd already sneaked my revolver out of my coat. We drew a bead on that stiff Prussian back, and we did some more waiting. Crouching and waiting until...
Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler!
All right, Herr Kapitän. It is safe for you to come out now.
We went out, but not before we'd exchanged another whisper. Not before Barnes said what we were both thinking.
Maybe the colonel was right, Link. Maybe the Jerry's on the square. Or maybe he's just smarter than we thought.
What do you mean?
Smart enough to use us for bait.
That was it, bait. Why get rid of us so fast? We weren't that important. He could get rid of us whenever he wanted to. And he'd only want to after we'd served his purpose. After we'd jeopardized the French Marquis by exposing them to him. Yes. And after we'd sent a lot of Yankee and British flyers to their death. We joined Mueller and continued on to our rendezvous point. There was nothing I could do about it. Mueller had been assigned as a member of the mission. So far, I'd acted like one. Don't knock off a fellow agent unless you're sure.
All right, Link. We're just 6 kilometers east of the beach now.
Yeah. Yeah, this patch of woods must be the place.
What do we do now, Herr Kapitän?
Nothing. Just wait.
Wait for what, monsieur?
He'd stepped out from behind a bush as silently as a shadow. But shadows don't carry Tommy guns.
You were expecting someone, monsieur?
Yeah, a man named Philippe Martin.
I am Philippe Martin.
Well, then you know who we are.
No, I'm afraid not, monsieur. If there were two of you, I would know. But not three.
There was a last-minute change of plans.
A very great change, since it made room for a Nazi officer.
Look, not all men who wear Nazi uniforms are Nazi officers.
True, monsieur. But all Frenchmen know a Nazi when they see one, in or out of uniform. Why is this man here?
That Tommy gun was shoving into Mueller's chest. I had to talk fast. I explained who the German was. I said the OSS trusted him.
The OSS may trust him, monsieur, but I trust no German.
Well, that makes no difference. My orders are that Mueller's a member of this mission. Now let's get going. You hear me, Martin?
Very well, monsieur. Follow me.
Where are you taking us?
To my farm. You will set up your radio in my barn.
Is it safe?
Safe? Why don't you ask your friend, Herr Müller?
Two hours later, Tom had his transmitter set up in the loft of Philippe Martin's farm, a few miles outside Saint-Nazaire.
With your permission, Herr Kapitän, I will leave now.
Yeah. You know what you're to do, Müller?
Yeah. With these forged orders Colonel Palmer gave me, I will be able to secure all the necessary information about submarine pens in the Saint-Nazaire area.
If you want to.
I hope, Herr Kapitän, I will be able to prove to you that I do want to.
We hope so, too, Mueller.
All right, get going. We expect you to contact us daily. We don't hear from you.
Link, someone's at the door.
Who could that be, Philippe?
Philippe? Philippe?
It is all right, monsieur. It is my sister, Marie. She is also a loyal member of the Marquis.
Marie Martin wasn't just a loyal Marquis member. She was a beautiful one, too. I wouldn't have had a look at her to know it. I'd only have had a look at Tom Barnes as a brother introduced her.
This is my sister, Marie, monsieur. Marie, Captain Daggett, Corporal Barnes, and Herr Lieutenant.
Herr Lieutenant? A German? Here?
Lieutenant Mueller is a prisoner of war, mademoiselle, working for the OSS.
He is a Nazi.
An ex-Nazi, mademoiselle.
The only ex-Nazis are dead ones. Philippe, throw this pig out of here.
Now, wait a minute, mademoiselle. Your brother and I have had all this out. Philippe has agreed to...
He had no right to agree. This is as much my farm as it is his. I will not have a Nazi on it.
All right, all right. Inasmuch as Mueller's just leaving for San Jose on a mission...
You are sending him on a mission? You must be out of your mind, Capitan.
I think...
Your brother and I have had all this out. Philippe has agreed to...
He had no right to agree. This is as much my farm as it is his. I will not have a Nazi on it.
All right, all right. Inasmuch as Mueller's just leaving for San Jose on a mission...
You are sending him on a mission? You must be out of your mind, Capitan.
I think she has a point, Link. You remember that little discussion we had back on the highway about bait?
Yeah, I remember it, Tom.
And I'm pretty sure now that we were right.
We have no more proof now than we did then.
I would rather he would stay here, Capitan, than see him go on a mission.
Well, Herr Capitän.
Get going, Mueller.
Blink, you're making...
Shut up, Tom!
You will hear from me, Herr Capitän.
Oui, you will hear from him. Through the Gestapo.
I wasn't sure she was wrong. And Tom Barnes was sure she was right. But then Tom's judgment wasn't to be trusted. Not where Marie Martin was concerned. Well, Tom, where you been?
Oh, I took a walk with Marie down by the brook.
Hmm. You take a lot of walks with Marie, don't you?
Why not? There's nothing to do but cool our heels until we hear from Mueller. And quite frankly, old man, I can't think of anybody I'd rather cool my heels with.
And then we heard from Mueller. We heard quite a lot from him, and not through the Gestapo either.
You must copy these maps immediately, Herr Kapitän. I must get them back to the Nazi headquarters before morning. You will find on them the location of the Nazi subpens from Saint-Nazaire to Dunkirk.
I copied the maps and deciphered the code symbols. Turned my report over to Tom to transmit to England. But Tom was stubborn.
How do you know those maps weren't faked, Link?
I don't.
Maybe Mueller's using us just the way we thought he would.
Well, maybe he is.
Then why on earth send that stuff out?
Because those are my orders and I'm going to obey them. Now send it, Tom. We'll see what happens. Well, we saw what happened. That night, off in the distance, 1,000 searchlights stabbed the sky. There were black puffs of smoke everywhere. The crowds were throwing up a curtain of flak that no air force in the whole world could penetrate. Next day, Mueller came back to the barn. By then, Tom had received the box score from England.
20 planes! You hear that, Mueller? We lost 20 planes last night.
I do not understand, Herr Corporal.
Oh, no, no, you don't understand it at all, do you? They knew we were coming. They were waiting for us. But you don't understand it.
You are implying, of course, that I betrayed you. But I give you my word.
His word. The word of a Nazi.
Marie, please.
Bien, Capitán Daggett. Are you perhaps convinced now?
I told you we should have listened to Hurling.
Easy, Tom.
It is too late, of course, to save those 20 planes. It is not too late to stop other raids.
Yes, of course, he's right, Link. I'll radio Colonel Palmer this minute.
Yeah, Capitaine.
Well, Mueller,
I have another map, if you wish to look at it.
All right. Let's see it.
I would prefer to show it to you alone.
Alone? Why, you pig of a German!
Oh, filthy scum! Are you suggesting there's anyone here but yourself who can't be trusted?
Look, Mueller, you're in no position to make such a request. You have something to show me, you can show it to me here.
Very well, Herr Kapitän.
He had something to show me, all right. A detailed chart of the biggest sub-pens along the whole coast. I knew it was worth any risk to try to smash those pens. But Tom Barnes didn't know it. He needed a lot of convincing. He insisted that chart was bait, just bait. It turned out he was right. The next week was a nightmare.
8 planes at Ostend, 6 at Cherbourg, 9 at Le Havre. Everywhere we struck, the Krauts were waiting. Operation Sellout, Tom and I called it. We had a name for Lieutenant Mueller, too. Tom wasn't around the night I reached a decision. I went looking for him. Down by the brook, of course. It was a bright moon. I saw two figures as I approached. Then, two figures became one for a moment.
I love you, Marie.
Oh, mon cher Tom, you must not say it. In France today, there is no place for the word love.
Maybe not, my darling. But when the war is over, I'm going to ask you to marry me.
Tom.
Oh.
Link, what are you doing here?
Get back to the barn. I want you radio Palmer to call off the raids.
At last, you have come to your senses, Capitaine.
What about Mueller, Link?
We'll forget Mueller. It's almost a week since we heard from him. We don't even know where he is.
But we can guess, no, Capitaine? He is in Berlin, probably, receiving a medal from his Führer.
Tom and I had to work fast. Once it dawned on the Germans that there'd be no more raids, they'd be after us. We radioed the colonel, canceling the raids, telling him we thought our mission was over. 6 hours later came the answer. The colonel thought otherwise.
Good Lord. We can't be serious, Link.
Yeah, he's serious, all right. He still wants to smash those subpens at Sanders Air. Since they couldn't do it from the air, they're going to do it from the ground with a commando raid. Yeah, commando raid. A hit-and-run attack where coordination and split-second timing were everything. Tom and I were to be the inside men. A big job, yeah. But this time, we didn't have two strikes against us. No, because this was one clam bake that Carl Mueller wouldn't know anything about.
What do we do first, Link?
Contact the local leader of the Maquis. We'll let him know what's happening, and he'll give us a safer place to roost.
But how do we contact him?
Well, Philippe will know him.
Oh, Philippe's in Rouen. Wait a minute. How about Marie? She might know, too.
Right. Go get her. He went to find Marie. I packed up the radio and the other equipment. I heard the door open. I thought he'd brought her back. I was wrong.
Good evening, Herr Capitaine.
Mueller. I didn't expect you to show your face around here again.
I heard in Saint-Nazaire that the raids have been canceled. I was afraid you and Corporal Barnes might be on your way back to England.
We're packing now.
Oh. I am not to go back with you, then.
There's only one place you're going, Mueller.
So, put your gun away, Herr Capitaine. You do not need to kill me. Since you are leaving me here, I shall make use of the one shell you so kindly left in my revolver.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you will. You couldn't bear to be left behind with your Nazi pals, could you? They weren't from my gun, those shots. I didn't know where they were from. I didn't wait to find out. I hit the floor, dragging the candle off the table with me. The barn went black. I lay there for a second. And then from outside, I heard...
Let's have some light, Link. I think I got him.
Tom had fired the shots. When I'd lit the candle again, I saw he was wrong. The doorway where Mueller had been standing was empty. Mueller was gone.
I was sure I hit him, Link.
All right, never mind. We've got something more important to think about than Mueller. You told Marie?
Oui, Capitaine. He told me. You wish to see the local Maquis leader?
That's right. Can you take us to him?
Mais oui, Capitaine. I will arrange for you to meet Monsieur Etienne.
She said it would take until the next evening to arrange it. Tom and I cleared out of the farm and holed up in the patch of woods where we'd first met Philippe. Of course, it had to start raining. Just before dark, Marie showed up in the woods.
It is done, Capitaine. Monsieur Etienne will be waiting for you at 8 o'clock. The room behind the village cafe.
Good work, Marie.
You're going there with us, aren't you, darling?
No, mon cher. I must return to Monsieur Etienne. But I will be waiting for you at the cafe.
She was standing in the doorway when we got there at 8. She led us around the back into a small, dirty, dimly lit room.
Bonsoir, monsieur.
He rose from his chair and stood behind the table. Monsieur Etienne was a small, dark man. His eyes were shifty and calculating. kind of eyes you often find in a head that has a price on it.
My apologies, monsieur, for not seeing you sooner. I was at my headquarters in the hills. I had to walk down. The roads were wet and muddy.
No apologies necessary, monsieur.
Merci. Mademoiselle Martin informs me you wish the assistance of the Marquis.
We need plenty of assistance. British commandos are planning a raid on the port of Saint-Nazaire.
A commando raid on Saint-Nazaire.
Those eyes of his grew wider. They grew bright. He stepped from behind the table. But he shouldn't have, because that was when I saw his boots. They were clean and polished. There wasn't a speck of mud on them. And yet he'd walk through the mud from his headquarters in the hills. He said,
Is something the matter, Captain?
He knew something was the matter, all right. He knew what it was, too. He saw my eyes on his boots, and he understood. His hand went under his coat, but it never came out, because that was all I needed.
Link, for the love of heaven!
One shot did it. He grabbed at his stomach, and he slumped to the floor.
Good Lord, Link, what's the idea?
He's dead!
Yeah, that's one collaborator less.
Collaborator?
Sure, that's all he was, Tom. Nazis planted him here to find out about our new mission.
Yes, but they didn't know we had a new mission. You said Mueller thought we were packing up to go back to England.
That's right, he did.
Well, then who could have...
I started to tell him, but I didn't have to. He saw it for himself.
Marie!
The look on her face confirmed it. The look on his face is the kind of thing you don't like to remember. That was all she needed. She bolted for the door and threw it open. I took one wild shot at her. I missed. Before I could fire again, she was gone.
She knows about the raid, Link. We've got to stop her before she gets to the Germans.
There's no telling which way she went, Tom. We'll split up. You go that way and I'll...
Good Lord. It was she, Link. It was Marie. Come on.
We ran down the dark alley behind the cafe. At the end of it, we found her. Lying face down in the mud.
She's dead, Link.
Yeah.
But who shot her?
I did, Herr Corporal.
Mueller!
I'm so sorry, Herr Barnes. I know how you felt about her. But she was our enemy. She had to die.
Yeah, but how did you know, Mueller?
I finally found a Frenchman who trusted me, Herr Capitaine. His name is Monsieur Etienne.
You mean that was his name?
You see, he thought that I was a Nazi, too. He confided in me.
I say, Mueller.
Yeah, Herr Corporal?
Look here, I ought to tell you. What I mean is I don't know how to say it. I'm sorry, I didn't trust...
Do not say it, please. I understand.
Herr Capitaine.
Yes, Mueller?
I have used that one shell you left in my revolver. I wonder if you would permit me to have one more.
No, I won't.
No?
Not one more, Carl. I'm giving you back the whole clip. That same night, we contacted the real leader of the Maquis. 2 weeks later, the commandos struck at Nazaire. They wiped out that subpen. When they went back to England, Tom Barnes and I went with them. And so did our friend, Carl Mueller.
And once again, the report of another OSS agent closes with the words...
Mission accomplished.
Listen again next week for another true adventure from the files of the OSS on...
Cloak and Dagger. Paired in today's Cloak and Dagger adventure as Captain Daggett was Carl Eastman, Tom Barnes, Ian Martin, Carl Mueller, Louis Van Ruten, Marie, Louise Erickson, Etienne, Raymond Edward Johnson, Martin, Arnold Moss, and the Nazi, Carl Weber. The script was written by Ken Field and music was under the direction of John Garth. Sound effects by Manny Siegel and John Powers. Engineering, Don Abbott. Today's OSS adventure was based on the book Cloak and Dagger by Corey Ford and Alistair McBain. This program is produced by Louis G. Cowan and Alfred Hollander under the direction and supervision of Sherman Marks.
Cloak and Dagger, on Tuned to Yesterday from September 22nd, 1950 on NBC. You are listening to An Hour of Adventure on Tune to Two Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a repeat broadcast of Suspense. That is to say, a story popular enough to have it requested to be back on again. It's Richard George Pedicini's story, The Steel River Prison Break, and was first heard on the Suspense series on September 3rd, 1951. This broadcast adapted from that earlier show by William N. Robeson on July 27th, 1958 on CBS.
And now, The Steel River Prison Break, starring Bartlett Robinson. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
It was set for Friday, and I mean set. We thought of everything. Cronin would be waiting in a speedboat under the wall. We'd make it during the recreation period. Some of the boys would start a rhubarb in the far corner of the yard, and we'd be up and over and in the river before the guards missed us. Then Tuesday night, the radio changed everything.
Flood stage is expected at midnight. Rain is still falling in the upper watershed. Flood warnings have been issued along the waterfront here in Frickburg. Elsewhere, rising waters are reported in the upper Allegheny and Monongah.
That does it.
What?
The flood. Did you hear that, Moish? Moish?
Huh?
Did you hear that on the radio?
Yeah, I heard it. So it's raining outside.
Yeah, and it's raining up the river, and it's raining in the mountains.
Yeah, and we're mighty lucky to be nice and warm in a comfy little old prison cell.
We gotta move up the timetable.
Huh? What are you talking about?
We walk out of here tomorrow night, Thursday morning latest.
How come?
Cronin won't be here for us till Friday afternoon.
Listen, by midnight tomorrow, this prison will be an island surrounded by the biggest flood since 1886.
Very interesting.
I don't know much about these things. We don't ever get much water on the Rio Grande.
Well, I know. I was born half a mile from here. I know the floods. I was raised on them. Flooded out twice a year when I was a kid, every fall and every spring. By tomorrow night, this cell block will be a swimming pool.
That'll be a change.
Tomorrow night, we go.
But what about Cronin?
Cronin ain't gonna get here in this flood.
I don't think we ought to risk it, Bragg.
There ain't any risk. You don't know how it is when there's a flood. People go crazy. We get out of here, we act like any other characters trying to get to high ground. Only we head for my house, get a change of clothes, and we're on our way. We'll be at Cronin's joint in Youngstown before he could ever get started.
I don't know, Bragg.
If you're going with me, you'll go when I say so. And I say tomorrow.
But, Bragg...
What, Runt?
I can't swim.
We already had a gun. Don't matter how, Cronin got it into me. It's hid behind the tubes in my radio. I got this radio in my cell because I've been such a model prisoner. Me. And this was one program I didn't want to miss a word of. Anyway, you couldn't get anything else. All the rest of that day, all night, the next morning. Holy!
Attention, please.
That's 4 feet above
flood
stage.
Water Street and Fourth has given way. All residents of the Brownsville District are advised to evacuate their homes at once.
Here we go.
Huh?
Brownsville. That's what they call the neighborhood around here. Hey, Moish.
Yeah, Bragg?
Are you getting this?
Every word.
It won't be long now.
Bragg, look.
What?
The floor at the end of the sail block.
Water. Trickle of water. I told you that means there's a foot and a half or 2 feet out in the yard.
A boat to 42 wants an alley.
Hey, and the lights went out. Turn the lights on. Come on, you guys. What are you doing?
Drunk tank on the fourth floor.
I object.
All right, now let's make it snappy. The water's rising 2 feet an hour. I'm going to open the doors. Form in line and follow me. And no funny business.
No funny
business. Yeah,
Moish.
That. You forgot.
No, I didn't.
Ain't you going to tape it to your leg?
It goes into my belt. We're going to need it in less than 3 minutes. Now stick close to me.
All right, now line up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Ben, the buses are right here at the gate.
Come on, Ed. Keep it moving.
Runt. Yeah. Fatty by the gate. I'll take him from behind. You get his gun.
Right.
All right, let's go, man. Make it snappy.
You get Lefty, I'll get Riley.
Hey, what about me?
Runt, shoot straighter. Just keep with me.
All right, come on, boys. We got all night now. Snap it up. Come on, get the lead out. What?
You got the gun, Runt?
Got it.
Hey, sit back in the line.
You make me.
No. Stand right where you are. Don't let anybody move.
Get behind me, Runt.
Filthy.
Go on, shoot Lefty. Fatty makes a good chest protector.
Relax, Fatty. You might not get hurt.
Drop that gun, Frank. And your gun.
I just might drop you, Lefty.
You know what that'll get you?
Sure. But what's the difference? One guard or two guards? It's the same hot seat.
We better move, Bragg. Every screw in the place will be down here now.
Yeah. Let's go, boys.
Second act of Suspense. Memo on medals. Interesting information about our military awards and decorations. Campaign medals were authorized by Congress in 1905 for all officers and men engaged in specified wars and military action, including such widely divergent battles as the Civil War in the United States and the Boxer Rebellion in China. The Navy and Marine Corps have a special Manila Bay Medal for members of the United States Asiatic Squadron under command of Commodore George Dewey in May of 1898. The Haitian campaign of 1915 is commemorated with a medal, as is the Santo Domingo expedition, which suppressed a revolt in that country and preserved order during elections in 1916. The Army has its Mexican Service Medal for those involved in any of several expeditions or engagements from April 12, 1911 through June 16, 1919. There is also the Army of Cuban Pacification Medal for United States troops who, from October of 1906 to April of 1909, helped establish a stable government in that island nation. The Victory Medal was initially awarded to all United States service personnel in World War I expeditionary forces, including, for the first time, women serving in the military units. There is a story behind every American medal, a proud story of devotion to country and unselfish service to keep it strong and free. And now, starring Bartlett Robinson, Act Two of The Steel River Prison Break.
We splashed up Ohio Street and there wasn't anyone following us. The screws were too busy getting the other cons into the buses. They couldn't have found us anyway, because we lost ourselves behind the swinging doors of Curly Heath Saloon, where I used to rush the growler for my old man. We were in pretty good shape. I hadn't used my own gun yet, and Runt had three rounds left in the guard's gun. So we just stood there in the dark with the water lapping around our knees and watched the buses loaded with surbirds pull out one by one for the Conestoga County Jail. We had it made. We got it made, boys.
Yeah, so far. What do we do now, swim? I told you I can't swim.
We ain't gonna walk, that's for sure. My ma's house is 10 blocks closer to the river. This water's going up, not down.
It stinks.
Sure, it stinks. Floods always stink. You should smell what it's like when the water drops. Only we won't be here to smell it.
Hey, listen.
Hey, where's our radio coming from?
That's a rescue boat.
Maybe he'll rescue us.
That's what I'm counting on, Runt. You let me handle it. Just you two act like you was a little tight.
Hey, Mac. Over this way.
Where?
Duck. He's using a searchlight.
Just stay behind the swinging door.
Over here at Hurley Heath.
What are you doing here? They kept the last guy out of here a half hour ago.
Yeah, we was in the back room with a pitcher of beer. We wasn't ready to leave yet.
You're lucky I cut through this way. Now that the cons are out of the pen, this entire area's been cleared. You guys might have drowned.
Yeah, I guess we might.
Yeah, take my hand. Up you go.
Thanks, mister.
Boy.
Never saw so much rain in all my life. All aboard?
Yep.
Now then, let's... Hey, what kind of suits is that? You guys are kind...
That's right, buddy. All right, take off his windbreaker, run.
Huh?
Strip him. I want to cover this number on my back.
Oh, yeah, sure. Give me a hand, boy.
There you are, Bray. Good. Over the side with
him. Huh? You ain't gonna...
No, I ain't gonna. You are. Over the side.
But, Bray, that's murder.
Look who's talking. You shot a guard 10 minutes ago. What was that? Target practice? Over the side.
Okay, Bray.
Okay, you two. Hit the deck out of sight. Here we go.
Hey, where are we going, Bragg?
My ma's house. We're on Ohio Street now. We turn left onto Liberty, and 8 blocks from here, we're home. Oh, turn off that radio. Here's Liberty Street now. Hang on, boys.
Hey, take it easy, Bragg. Watch out, Bragg. There's a boatload of people ahead. Get down, Ron. Get down. On that boat.
Yeah, I know.
There were women on it. And kids.
That's their tough luck.
We gotta go back.
We can't go back. Hey, where's Run?
Huh? Run! Hey, where are you?
Get down, Morsch. Now, stay out of sight.
But he ain't here.
He must have fell out when we hit that boat.
We gotta go back for him.
We can't, Morsch.
He's got the gun.
He had the guard's gun. I still got mine with a full clip.
Yeah, but Bragg, he can't swim.
I know.
Maybe the water ain't deep there, huh? Maybe you can walk.
Are you kidding? Look at those storefronts. There's 15 feet of water under us. We tied up to the front porch roof of Ma's house. It didn't take long to rip the radio and the battery out of that launch, kick a hole in her bottom, and sink her on Ma's front yard. We needed the radio. I wanted to know whether the boys were looking for us or for flood victims.
And Henry Roy, your services are desperately needed in Frickburg. Attention all units of the National Guard.
They were looking for flood victims. With people drowning and typhoid threatening and the water supply cut off and the phone lines out and the National Guard and Army called in, no one was thinking much about 3 escapees. I mean 2. Ma wasn't home, Natch. She was an old hand at floods. When that water hits 35 feet at the Ohio Avenue Bridge, Ma always lights out for Aunt Carrie's in Mount Austin and sits it out. But everything was snug on the second floor, and my room was just like I'd left it. So Moish and I hit the sack, hoping the water wouldn't come any higher. Hey, Moish.
Huh?
Well, come on, rise and shine, wake up.
Hey, what are you doing in my cell?
This ain't a cell, you jerk.
No? Oh, where am I?
You're in my ma's house, remember? We ain't stir no longer.
Yeah.
Well, come on, get with it. Look out the window.
I'm hungry.
Oh, who ain't? Look at that.
Why?
It stopped raining. The water's dropping. You can see the parlor windows on the house across the street.
So?
So, by this afternoon, we can move.
I'm hungry.
Well, you're going to be hungrier. Ma's kitchen will be 3 inches deep in muck.
Hey, you know, when this water drops, they'll be looking for us.
And we won't be here. By midnight tonight, we'll be in Cronin's joint in Youngstown.
How?
You're here, ain't you?
Yeah.
Then don't ask how. Just take my word for it. We'll be there. By 5 o'clock that afternoon, we were plenty hungry. But we could stand a little more of that, because the water had drained out of the street and the people were beginning to drift back to their homes, picking their way through the ankle-deep muck. It was time for us to move. Moish and I put on a couple of my best suits while the radio droned on and on. Sweetheart, we're in business. Steubenville in Cincinnati. The cops over in Ohio will be so busy they'll never see the all-points flash about us.
Mud's going to ruin your pretty pants.
Turn up the cuffs and let's go.
At the temporary morgue in the McCandless School.
Hey, they turned my old schoolhouse into a morgue. Listen.
Gerda Brem, Mrs. Mary, correction, and Mrs. Margaret Bragg.
Hmm? Margaret Bragg? That's my ma.
Moment, we continue with the third act of Suspense.
We have, together, ample capacity in freedom to defend freedom. This is NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO possesses a shield of well-equipped, highly trained land and sea forces, plus tactical air support and special units. The NATO shield extends from north of Norway to the eastern mountains of Anatolia in Asian Turkey. Complete disposition of forces is covered by a radar warning system plus a perfected network of telecommunications, enabling the Supreme Commander to direct operations with extreme rapidity over a 2,000-mile front. The United States of America is a part of NATO. You should be aware of and alert to the programs and objectives of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
And now, starring Bartlett Robinson, Act Three of The Steel River Prison Break.
Maybe it was a mistake. It wouldn't be the first time they'd made mistakes like that. Or maybe it was a trick. Maybe the warden put out that flash to trap me. But maybe it was on the level. I had to know if my mother was dead. I had to be sure. So Moish and I sloughed through the mud up to our ankles, but not out on the Youngstown Road. I was headed for the schoolhouse. And Moish, well, he's a good kid. He come along. They were stretched out in the assembly hall. Row on row of them, on cots, covered with sheets. In the assembly hall where us kids used to pledge allegiance to the flag and sing America the Beautiful.
Bragg.
Yeah.
Even if they got her here, maybe it's a trap.
I gotta be sure. I gotta see her.
Yeah, I know.
If you want to get out, you go. It's okay with me.
Oh, no, no. I'm sticking, but you keep your eyes open.
Yeah, sure.
What's the tag on that one say?
Campanelli, Luigi.
Here one. It's unidentified.
Leroy. Sarah Jean. I went to school with her father.
Here. Here, pal. Bragg. This is Margaret.
Turn down the sheet, will you, Moish?
Yeah, sure.
Ma. Ma.
All right, Bragg, put your hands up.
Bragg, Fletcher, the head
duck
guard.
Down behind this cop.
Come on, Bragg, give yourself up. Let's not make any more trouble for these people. They've had enough.
I didn't get this far to give myself up in no lousy morgue. Moish, that door behind these cops. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
Huh? Where's this lead?
To the balcony. About the swimming pool. This way.
All right.
Come on. Now, come on. We gotta make it across the catwalk by the high diving board.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll follow you.
Okay, Moish. Come on.
Come on.
We gotta get out through here.
Yeah, right.
Stay where you are, Moish.
Nuts to you, Lefty.
No!
Moish!
You're next, Brad.
Why, you dirty...
Come now, Bragg?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready.
Hold out your hand. Okay, let's go.
Lefty,
Yeah?
Can I say goodbye to my ma before I go?
Yeah, I suppose so.
How did it happen, Lefty? How did she drown?
Didn't you read her tag?
No.
Seems the rescue boat she was in was capsized by an unidentified launch at the corner of Ohio on Liberty Street last night.
You're lying.
That's what the tag says. It's sort of a hit-and-run pilot.
You're lying. I was running that launch.
You were? Well, like you said last night, Bragg, what difference does it make if you kill two instead of one? It's the same hot seat, ain't it?
Suspense, in which Bartlett Robinson starred in the Steel River Prison Break, written, produced, and directed by William N. Robeson. Supporting Bartlett Robinson in the Steel River Prison Break were Barney Phillips, Jerry Hausner, Jack Moyles, Sam Pierce, Eddie Firestone, and Norm Alden. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with The Voice of Company A, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 27th, 1958 on CBS. And so closes this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.